Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen in Studio A, and over in Studio B with his entourage is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Good morning, Mr. Edwards. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Allen. And it's a beautiful day here in the Twin Cities, though. You know, we've got 40 inches of snow. We've been really taking a pounding up here in Minnesota with regards to the weather. But I understand we have an outstanding program. I know we have some calls be coming in from outside of Minnesota because of some other matters. But right now we want to attend to and listen to a state senator, Senator Platt, that you've been in consultation and discussion with, and, you know, find out how great things are as it pertains to the legislature, because I'm listening to leadership in the African-American community that says that they got so much coming down the road, it's just going to be unbelievable. So go ahead, Don.
Okay. This morning, we'd like to welcome to the show Minnesota Senator Eric Pratt, which is like Fire Lake, that area. Senate District 55, if I'm not mistaken. Good morning, Senator Pratt. How are you? Senator, are you there?
I keep cutting out.
Morning,
can I call back?
How are you? What's that?
He may need to call back. He's got a bad line, bad connection.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Please call back. Not a problem. Okay, Mr. Edwards, have a conversation. That was Minnesota Senator Eric Pratt. He's going to call back. He had a bad connection there on his cell, so we'll get him back in the queue here as soon as he pops up. But anyway, Mr.
All
Edwards, we were talking about, you know, like the Council of Minnesota for African Heritage and their particular agenda, which I don't think I've seen it. Have you seen it, Mr. Edwards?
No, I have not, and my staff, in preparation for this excellent opportunity to discuss with Senator Pratt what's going on, I did some research. I heard some discussions on a urban radio station last Sunday, and I heard the individual in question was saying great things about all the things that they're doing and things that they, you know, got going, and so, again, I had my staff book and check and etc. We couldn't quite find the narratives that Justin Pereira was talking about. But anyways, we have the senator here now.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's got a better connection.
He's back.
Sounds like I got a better connection now. Thanks a lot.
All right, Senator. You're coming across very clear. All right, go ahead, Mr. Allen.
Very clear, very loud, very perfect. Thank you. I'd like to introduce Senator Eric Pratt, Minnesota Senator, District 55, which is Fire Lake, that area. Senator Pratt, welcome to the show, by the way, again.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, Mr. Edwards, I was looking at some facts about Senator Pratt's district, and I stumbled across this piece, and I don't have it in front of me. It's upstairs in my office, but I just have to say this to show how well this senator's district is governed. So I think there was an estimated 29,000-plus occupied housing units out in his area, in the district that he – and he has a fact sheet online that you can just Google or pop right up. And out of that, 95% are occupied.
Mm-hmm.
That shows an area that is the political system in that area actually works for the people. And he has people from all walks of life in his district out there, and I thought that was very impressive. But anyway, let's get back to you, Senator Pratt. How's everything going at the legislature in 2019? Is it smooth for you, bumpy? And then we have some other questions for you. Go ahead.
Well, some days it's smooth, some days it's bumpy, but it's going well. You know, certainly we have with a new governor, we have a new dynamic. Governor Walz is in some ways a lot different than Governor Dayton, but you know, in a lot of ways his policies are very, very the same. They just have different styles. You know, dealing with a progressive House is a new challenge for me. you know, since I've been.
Let me ask this question very quickly, Senator, for the enlightenment of our worldwide listening audience. We in Minnesota are the only state that has a split legislature. Is that correct?
We are the only state with a split legislature, and you know, the eyes of the nation and as you said, the world are on us to see if we can figure out how to work together.
Yes. All right. Go right ahead, sir. Go right ahead.
So, you know, it's we've got some new challenges this year. I was the chair of the Education Policy Committee. I served 12 years on my local school board. My mom was a teacher for 40 years. My dad was a banker. You know, before that, we, you know, we lived in a lot of different areas. But now I'm the chair of the Jobs and Economic Growth Committee. And, you know, that's a lot of fun. We're looking at how we can help every Minnesotan participate in the economy. You know, we got a 2.8% unemployment rate, and that's, you know, really, really low. But the question I ask myself is, how do we get that other 2.8% back in and finding jobs and creating value? And so, you know, we're looking at ways to remove barriers to employment, making sure that we've got an equal playing field between the employers and the employees. But we also want small business and large business both to find Minnesota a great place to invest and create jobs.
Senator, let me ask this question here, moving it along, because this is excellent information. My colleague earlier indicated you have a diverse population down there, and so it's not all white, if you will. I understand you have a fairly decent percentage of Latinos and et cetera. Could you speak to us a little bit about how they're doing as it pertains to the economy, jobs, housing, that kind of thing?
Well, it's a really great question, because I grew up in this area, and it looks a lot different than when I was a kid. We're one of the fastest growing areas in the country. In fact, I've got 1,000 new housing units going up in my district right now. But
let me say this. Be sure, whatever you do, don't afford construction to construct any new ones. Oh, folks, I'm not sorry. I thought we were in Haiti. But anyway, go ahead, Senator. Go ahead.
So, and we found, you know, that we've got a diverse population moving in, as we've created a number of jobs. In fact, we want to have 50% of our residents working here in Scott County by 2030. And so we're trying to bring jobs and different levels of housing in. And so we have people who have moved out here from the inner ring suburbs, and we've got new immigrants coming in. It's really looks a lot different. In fact, I was at a first grade reading fest, and I would say at least half of the class were kids of color. So looks a lot different than when I was a kid.
Oh, it definitely is. Yeah. I used to go down in that part of the state, and we used to. At one time, for many years, I worked for North Space Power Company up in the corporate, et cetera, and we used to talk about the changing tide in that part of the state. By the way, welcome to the education piece. I can appreciate what you reflected on with regards to your own mother. My mother, who is deceased, passed in 2015, was a kindergarten teacher in Kansas City, Missouri for 52 years. So I have an appreciation of education, a great, great appreciation of that. But go ahead, Mr. Allen, continue if you would.
Yeah, and I would just like to also, Senator Pratt, thank you for the things you have done in education with the new teaching areas and some of the legislation that has come across. I know I was in your office a couple of weeks ago talking to you about a concern, and you really enlightened me. And I did go down to Senator Torres Ray and leave my name and number, and hopefully I will get a call here before the year is over. But anyway, there's a couple of bills at the state capitol. There's some legislation, and Mr. Edwards and I like to use this opportunity to give our listeners and our community, more specifically, information about what's going on. Now, I understand that there might be a legislative agenda as it pertains to the community of color, or in this case, the black community. But as Mr. Edwards and I said when we were calling back, we had some line trouble, like, we have not seen that. And we really don't know where we are, but we hear people talking. Have you seen any community-specific legislation for economic development, jobs, infrastructure, housing, child protection, and things like that in the 2019 session that you can speak on?
Well, we've seen a few. I think one of the things in my new committee that I have is called the Workforce Development Fund. And when employers pay into the unemployment insurance, a portion of that goes into this Workforce Development Fund. As I mentioned, this is a way to help remove barriers and help create and develop, either develop jobs or help people get the skills to get a job. And so we're seeing a number of requests from Minneapolis and St. Paul, from communities of color, looking to help start up, helping entrepreneurs start small businesses, either through loan programs or small grant programs to help them get going. I kind of like the loan program, the idea that, you know, somebody's going to take out a loan, but they're having a problem getting financing through the bank, and these are folks that are willing to take a chance. In fact, we just heard one where the loss rate on these loans, the default rate is under 1%, which is really awesome. Wow. That these entrepreneurs are really working hard, and when you pay back those loans, you have some equity in the game, some stake in the game, and that's, you know, that's what I really like about them.
If you would, it appears that probably 90% of that 1% was unfortunately in the African-American community, because the African-American community has just lost a significant economic development package, including a big, new, pretty facility, and et cetera, because of foreclosure. Wow. With a bank that has an excellent history of trying to work with communities called Sunrise Bank, if you will. Don't want to get you caught up in the necessary politics of it, if you will, but we do exercise the right to reflect that maybe things aren't going quite as well in the African-American community as we're being told. Now, have you met with the gentleman known as Justin Terrell, who's head of the Africa, Mr. Allen has it down perfect, Black Americans,
Minnesota,
or whatever.
They should have never changed the name, Mr. Edwards, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay. But have you had a chance to meet with Justin Terrell, Senator? Have you had a chance to sit down with him? Have you had a chance to look at his package of legislative initiatives and intent? Because we really can't find, we kind of went online, we couldn't find the packages that we hear them talk about as recently as this past Sunday, as an example. Could you kind of reinforce that these packages are being put together for the African American community?
Well, I haven't met Mr. Terrell. I've never talked to him. Wouldn't know him. Do know that there are some senators working on some packages, particularly around the equity funding that we put together back in 2016, and trying to extend some of that. We just got a report from the Department of Economic Development. We call it DEED. And I was really disappointed in the report. They didn't have the information that we wanted. A number of the programs they had funded, but those programs hadn't helped anybody yet. And they just, my goal is to make sure that we're investing in programs that actually help people get jobs or help people start their businesses.
Yes,
Senator Pratt, that's something very interesting that you talk about DEED, and something that I need to insert here, and not to take up a lot of your time, but I need to get this in before I pass it back over to Mr. Edwards. From 2010 till year to date today, DEED has not really engaged any community, because they're an agency that has to work for every Minnesotan, not just the Black community. But it seems like they're having a very difficult time figuring out programs that work. And I have personal experience with DEED and an agency in North Minneapolis named Education Explosion, ran by a young lady named Miss Angela Edwards. No relationship to Mr. Edwards here.
That's right. Thank
but,
you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the officials from DEED would come out to her office on Lindale and ask her what she's doing. And at the time, she had a moving company and a car rental company. So she was the profits were supporting her nonprofit. And so they would dangle this carrot in front of her face. So she put together one hell of a proposal and sent it over to DEED. And I tell you, they never called her back, and then they put out an RFP, and I could tell you almost in some paragraphs, word for word, came out of Angela's proposal to engage the community in education to get people in college, get what they need, support them for the first semester. And it, and the people that received the money never really went back into the community, and this has been their ongoing history with DEED and the components inside of DEED. Because of the lack of creativity and follow through on these programs, as you stated early, that some of them didn't help anyone. So with that said, how do we change this? What does our community need to do to get in and maybe work with these, collaborate with these? Because we're having one heck of a time out here.
Well, you know, I've met the new commissioner comes. He grew up in Minnesota, but he was out in Silicon Valley working for Google. You know, and I have hopes that we'll be able to move forward and actually do some things. You know, I think the big thing right now is to make sure that we have the data to know which and this was a conversation I had with him. We need the data to make sure we know that the programs we're putting money into are really going to help those communities that are in most need. The other thing I'd like to do is and I've had an idea out there floating around for a while. Hasn't caught fire yet, is to create, for lack of a better term, enterprise zones where we invest money in areas with high unemployment and try to incent job creation in those areas so that we're not having to build these long, expensive transit systems out to and put people on public transit for an hour, you know, 2 hours a day. To get to their jobs, but their jobs are right where they want them. My father-in-law worked in a paper mill for 35 years, and he built his house within walking distance of the paper mill. And, he it didn't matter whether it was 100 above or 100 below, he walked to work every day.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right.
Mr. Edwards.
Yes. Oh,
you have any questions for
as we begin to kind of wrap it, is there anything that we have not specifically asked you, Senator, that we probably should have that you would like to reflect on?
Well, you know, we talked a lot about my committee, and we're looking at ways to, help communities and particularly disadvantaged communities, start their businesses and get some jobs. But the other thing is, and this is, you know, this has always been a passion of mine. I've talked to Mr. Allen about this. Is sometimes when we look at the problem, the root of it is a failed education system. And so one of the things that my colleagues and I are working on is trying to give parents where the public schools have failed them a choice, the ability to put their kids in a school where they can realize their talents and their abilities. I've always supported public schools. I'm a big public school proponent. But sometimes when the neighborhood school has failed, we need to give these parents choice. And so we've got some proposals out there to create some scholarship funds, not using state money, but to get private scholarships in the hands of kids so that they can pursue their dreams. You know, I often talk about my grandfather quit school when he was in eighth grade and went to work in the coal mine. Mm-hmm. And he left the coal mine and went to the tractor factory.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad worked in the tractor factory, and eventually he became the first in his family to graduate from college. And mm-hmm. I always say, if Grandpa hadn't left the coal mine, I wouldn't be a state senator today.
All right, then. Gotcha. There you go. And what part of America was that at? You said a coal mine. Was that up in northern Minnesota in Taconite, or where was that at in the United States?
No, it was down in southern Iowa.
Oh, you okay? I know the area down there, going towards the Missouri border. Yeah, got you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Going towards the Missouri border. All right. All right, Mr. Allen. Anything else for the senator? I know we got some calls holding. I'm getting text messages. Everybody wants to ask questions about what's going on up here in Minnesota. But just on behalf of myself and my associates, I appreciate your candor and the preparation that clearly you made to be on this program. A lot of times people come on program, quote unquote, like this, and they feel they don't have to prepare. But Mr. Allen, go ahead.
Yeah, well, Senator Pratt, again, thank you. I look forward to speaking to you again. And thanks for, really appreciate you calling this show this morning, and have a great rest of your weekend, sir.
Well, thank you, Mr. Edwards, Mr. Allen. It was my pleasure.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Senator Eric Pratt.
Oh.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Donna, that phone line is open, if you will, 347-426-3904, 347-426-3904. And we certainly want to indicate to Senator Roger Chamberlain that we had one of his colleagues on and came on as well prepared as Senator Chamberlain has been. He's been on the air with us a couple of times. By the way, for the purpose of transparency, my associate, Mr. Allen, reached out to the other side of the aisle, the Democratic side, to Senator Bobby Joe Champion of the 58th Senatorial District. And my understanding is, Mr. Allen, that Mr. Champion declined the opportunity to come on and chit-chat about what they're doing over there. Is that correct, or is that a misstatement?
Yeah, that's correct. That is correct. And I'm trying to tag him in public now. Oh, did he unfriend me already? but it's not working. Here he is. Here he is. Yeah, we're still friends. And 10 new polls.
Oh, well, that's great, Don. That's great. Maybe
we may be able to get him or Senator
Hayden on, if you will, in the next couple of number of months, or maybe at the end of the legislative session. You know, I hope that we haven't done anything to offend anyone on the Democratic side of the aisle.
If I was thinking right, I would have called Senator or State Representative Raymond Dean, because on Monday, March 4th from 5:30 to 8 p.m., they're having a Senate District 59 Town Hall Series meeting with Senator Champion, Senator State Rep Ray Dean, and Representative
58. I keep saying 58. It's Senatorial District 59.
It's 59. It's 59. And it's going to be over there at UROC, and they're going to be serving. Looks like they're going to have a little food over there. Let me just check. Special guest, Attorney General Keith Ellison.
Give us the time and date again. Community can go over
okay. Let me run this by. It's going to be Monday, March 4th, 2019, from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Over there at UROC at 2001 Plymouth on Avenue, right behind the Thor building there and right across the street from the Minneapolis Urban League. So Commissioner Irene Fernando, County Commissioner Angela Conley, City Council Member Jeremiah Ellison, Senate Counsel and Research Staff Eric Newman. The topics here from this flyer is session overview, healthcare, education, budget, and transportation. It says here, Mr. Edwards, from 5:30 to 6:30, want to let people know their food will be served. And those things I got to say, Mr. Edwards, that Senator Champion and State Rep Dean are at, when they serve food, they serve food. I mean, I've seen
good
some really
hear.
Nice.
That is good to
yeah,
hear.
Yeah,
that,
there's some nice stuff over there, some healthy eating, some nice pasta, vegetables, fruit, and they really do a good job. It's kind of different from
Don,
like,
I've seen that as a consistent pattern of some of our politically elected people. Or even appointed. I was at a meeting a week ago with Chief Navarro Arredondo. It was kind of packed. It was at the Davis Center. That's the big the auditorium there and the big pretty education building there on West Broadway, if you will. And boy, they fed the people good. They, sometimes you kind of wonder if they're kind of fattening them up. I mean, I did. That's just a joke, if you will. But they always come out with a nice spread, man. It's too bad we can't find some effort to provide some stores over on that north side that, you know, provide the necessary nourishment, if you will, and commodities and et cetera. But that's great.
Mr. Edwards, what about the north side co-op?
I think we kind of did a piece on that. I know there were some folks for the co-leadership wasn't happy that we had a young lady on. In fact, she was blasted by one of our private entrepreneurs, Dr. Lewis King. If you remember, she called and was talking in terms of that she had served kind of as an advisor and consultant, and Dr. King took a really kind of exception to her, kind of made reference to the fact that she's a person that's never been able to keep a job and et cetera. I don't know why that was necessary, but if that's the way that we operate, then, you know, we just operate like that across the board. You know what I'm saying? But and by the way, I know they're still working on trying to come up with a plan to save the building. I don't know if they can save four there, the world headquarters, if you will. A lot of meetings going on and et cetera. But they run into some problems with the Minneapolis City Council, if you will, and particularly Vice President Jenkins. Who has been on top of the game for a long time and, you know, knows the truthful ones and knows the fakes, if you will. But anyways, phone lines are open, if you will. This is Donnie Ronnie.
And go ahead. Mr. Edwards, before I go to this caller that we have holding, caller, thank you for holding. I'll go right to him. But I'd just like to say that for the first time this year on Friday, yesterday, I purchased a Powerball ticket. And
did you win?
And if I win, I will be glad to contribute to Thor's stability in the tune of $75 million. That's if I win the whole thing by myself. It's actually way more than that. But I will contribute $75 million out of that lottery winning if I win to make Thor stable again.
Help get them back on their feet.
Yeah.
That will certainly help them get their all Sunrise Bank and et cetera. Yes, sir. That's great, Mr. Allen.
Yeah.
You
so
are
I'm
a great.
Know that
you are a greater philanthropic leader than I would be.
Yeah.
But then I've been around a little bit longer than you. Well, let's get to that caller. Let's see who we got.
Hey,
got
we have a caller. It's a friend of the show. 816. You're live on the air. How you doing this morning?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Fine. I think Steve. What can we do for you this morning? Beautiful morning. But go ahead, sir.
Oh, I just wanted to give a little update to the Robert Kraft situation. You guys were talking about it last week.
Yes, sir.
Robert Kraft actually formally pleaded guilty. Or not guilty,
what?
I'm sorry. Pleaded not guilty. He formally pleaded not guilty and also requested a non jury trial for
he's
both
hoping to
these
buy a
counts.
Judge. He's hoping to buy a judge.
Yeah.
He's gonna have what's called a bench trial. Oh, you got a judge down there.
Yeah.
He can buy in Jupiter or Palm Beach, Florida. Oh, That's cute. Now has the NFL send him a letter of notice that there will be sanctions against him for his conduct in violation of the COVID rule, the rule they use for the African-American ball players, you know, to extricate him, jettison him, et cetera. So has he received a letter yet from the
as
NFL?
As far as I know, no. No, so far the NFL seems to be very quiet. They say they're waiting for this process to take place, I guess, and gathering information, et cetera. Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Of course,
it's
now, for the listeners
on
this, you know, last week we had a caller who allegedly didn't know who Robert Kraft was, a guy by the name of JoJo or Joe. Robert Kraft is the owner and, you know, chief, quote-unquote, operator of the New England Patriots, the defending Super Bowl champions. He and Coach Bill Belichick, who does a lot of spying and et cetera on other teams as they prepare for games. And, of course, the quarterback, Tom Brady. All three of them, by the way, are all Trump supporters, sympathizers, and et cetera. You know, of course, in a democracy, you can support whoever it is that you want to support. But, you know, we have an obligation to just kind of point out, you know, political affiliations and et cetera. Now, you are saying to us, Steve, from the Midwest, that the NFL has not indicated anything else about Mr. Kraft?
No, I believe, was it Robert Goodell, gave a statement earlier when this first started. He really hasn't said too much lately. All the news stations and everything are saying that maybe he'll be suspended or get some other kind of sanction. But so far,
like
really,
the owner very, of the Colts,
yeah, the owner,
I'm quite sure. In that he cuts his own check, I'm quite sure he'll suffer tremendous financial pain. Right?
And another thing that's very interesting too about the video, the police in Jupiter, Florida, are saying that they don't know that the video will ever be released. They said it will be released to the defendants.
Steve,
and
I'm glad you brought that up because you were the first person I heard anywhere in America that talked about, maybe we'll get a chance to see the video of the sexual acts and et cetera. And what happened, I watched the press conference on live feed from Florida, and here's what they specifically said. That's probably why Bobby Kraft asked for a bench trial. They maintain that if there is not any, this is interesting, if there is not any depositions taken, if you will, and possibly if you don't take the stand, but definitely on the issue in Florida, the issue of deposition, that the video cannot come into play. And it would be tucked away in the archive. And that came from the states in Florida at that press conference there out, you know, in Palm Beach. It was interesting how he crafted that. Oops, isn't that a poo-poo? How he crafted that, because the media that was there did not ask any questions about, okay, so, you know, how do we get access? And then later on, a panel, you probably had one of those traditional panels, CNN, and they were asking about maybe how they would gain access because they had just thrown, what's his name, R. Kelly, the black guy. They had just thrown him in jail. He was there for a couple of days till he was able to raise bail, quite a bail there for R. Kelly. So that I appreciate that because I don't think that you'll ever see the video, if you will, and with Bobby Kraft, you know, making a decision to go with a bench trial, that's very important. But go ahead, you have a couple of your assistants, you have a couple of questions of us here in Indianapolis?
One that I had, it's kind of a question about, this international question. I'd kind of like to get your take on what happened in Vietnam with the president, him leaving so suddenly. What do you think is going on?
My observation from following him extremely close was that, number one, the president was very irritated. I could use another word, but was very irritated by what was happening back in Washington, particularly with his former fixer. That's his term, not ours. Mr. Cohen, who looked like a deer in the headlamps. He looked like he had basically been pretty much destroyed, but he tried to hold his composure. So the president was listening to that while in Hanoi, which is in, of course, Vietnam. And I think he was pretty agitated, if you will, probably not thinking clearly, if you will, in his dealings with the Rocket Man. Who is much shrewder, you know, but of course he's a yellow person, so, you know, we know the yellows and the browns and the blacks, so, you know, just not that gifted. And so the president needed to get back to Washington, get in the security room, if you will, and begin to plot a strategy, because one of the things that the North Koreans have not done is that they have not violated probably the most crucial of the agreements, and that is to continue fly those nuclear tipped pan down the so-called Pacific corridor towards the Wake and Midway and Hawaii and even northern United States. So I think that he had pretty much exhausted himself mentally and physically, and they just kind of decided that it was time for him to say, okay, I still love the Rocket Man, and get the hell out of Vietnam. That's my take, sir.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And,
yeah.
Maybe my associate, Mr. Allen, has a reflection. If not, go ahead, Steve.
No, yeah, the way he left, it seemed like he seemed like he had an emergency that he had to get back so quick and dropped everything.
Well,
so yeah, I guess Cohen was the emergency, apparently.
The payments, the payments to the prostitutes. That really created an emergency. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Anything else? I understand you had a question about a case that we were reporting on. Well, this time last year, you had a question about death of a couple African Americans, and also you had a question.
Yeah.
You guys had a question about the beating, the tape that emerged here. Well, we have a lot of tapes emerging of an African American in 2016 being almost beat to death in the Ramsey County Jail. That's our sister county across the Mississippi River. Go ahead.
I guess that was the George Edward Washington case there. And then the video. I'd like to try to get some information if you have any on
in the case of George Edward Washington beaten to death in the Kandy, Ohio County Jail, which is the county seat is Wilmer, Minnesota, beaten to death late evening of January 7th and the early morning of January 8th, 2018. That situation was hushed up. Unfortunately, his brother, a Joseph Washington, came here from the Carolinas to try to find out what happened to his brother. There was a big split in the family. His children, George Edward Washington, the known deceased, his children maintained that the sheriff had handled everything okay. So that basically knocked that issue out. I would refer our listeners on this morning's program to the Minneapolis Star Tribune, the major Caucasian paper here in Minnesota. January 10th, 2018, story written by an outstate reporter for the Star, truncating that the death of an individual, everything was really kind of clandestine and closed down, but that a death had taken place inside of the Kandy, Ohio County Jail, African American, if you will, and then that was the only action reported by a major white newspaper. I wrote about the brutal death of George Edward Washington in my column in the African American newspaper, the Minnesota Spokes Reporter, during the week, the week of the 15th or thereabouts. I'm not sure what has happened to Joseph Washington. There is a rumor that sometime between the 20th and the 22nd of March of last year, Joseph Washington was possibly killed outside of Brainerd, Minnesota, as a part of a response to his inquiries. But maybe Joseph Washington will call, or maybe one of his friends here will call. But to your question, we took it as far as we could, but the leadership of NAACP and others in St. Paul last year basically shut that down, working closely with the Bureau of what we call the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, if you will, DCA. And they kind of closed that one down, just like they kind of closed down the beating of the young African-American in 2016. They beat that young man so bad. He spent 3 weeks in jail, and then they ordered him to get the hell out of Minnesota. He now lives over in Spooner, Wisconsin. Yeah.
No.
Oh, wow. So that's how we work it. That's how we roll here in Minnesota. Yeah, your life as a person of color, as a black man, ain't worth crap.
yeah, exactly.
No, because we do have positive people on both sides of the aisle. But yes, sir, that's what's happened with George Edward Washington. And by the way, his body was cremated, but we got the autopsy report early on. Uh-huh. I have it in my file. Joseph Washington, his brother brought it with him when he came up here to Minnesota, and I was able to get it. And also I was able to interview him on my local television program here in the Twin Cities. Just a couple of days before Joseph Washington, the brother of the deceased himself may have become deceased, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything else, of course? Hope we answered your questions here. We're trying to do the best we can here, Donnie and Ronnie, coming to you from the Twin Cities. But I really appreciated that information on craft. Thank you, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye.
And, Mr. Edwards, we have another call.
Let's get the callers in. Okay.
Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Gentlemen.
Hey, how are you?
Yes, sir. This sounds like Tim from MI5 or MI6 over there in Britain. What can we do for you, buddy?
It is him, and I did want to say, first of all, before I get into what I wanted to talk about, is that I really enjoy the caller, Steve, who was just in. I believe he's from Central States area somewhere, and
Kansas, Missouri, down through there. Mm-hmm.
It really shows.
Got quite an organization. But go ahead, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just shows what goes on in Minnesota. Has a broader impact. You know, the way that the relations are with different races, different disparities, different ideological groups, and how this is kind of really becoming kind of a nerve center. You know, we now have a senator that says she's running for president. So it's really interesting. I enjoy hearing the caller, Steve.
He has quite an organization. Of course, he is very clandestine, if you will, he and his associates. These guys stay on top of the business. We work closely with them at the Ron Tax Group. But go ahead.
But what I wanted to just asked briefly, if you could I know you've alluded to some of the status of the Thor situation, but could you just give a brief update? I mean, is it still functional? Is it, I know that there's a museum there that I have talked
to. It's not a museum anymore, but go ahead.
Well, they say that the museum people say they have a lease and everything is fine. Everything is just... rosy, the sky is not falling, and I just wondered who they had a lease with,
by the way. Do you remember?
They were very, very, very evasive about that. I'm not sure exactly who the lease was, but they say they have a 2-year lease, and, the sky is not falling, and it's all, much to do about nothing. And I just wondered if you had any more...
Well, let me say it like this. If it's to do, and I've certainly not talked to them officially, and certainly I'd like for my associate, Mr. Allen, who also has been following this, if it's a lot of to do about nothing, I'm kind of trying to figure out why Thor Construction and all of their subsidiaries are all in two different courts, Hennepin and Ramsey County. And, in fact, in Hennepin County, the petition filed motions, as we call it legally, by the Sunrise Bank. It calls for, and we talked about it on these programs 3 weeks ago when it first broke, that Sunrise has asked the court, and I think that those motions have been acted on, that the place the entity known as Thor Construction in receivership and appoint a special master to run their operation, which is normally a prelude to seizing assets. That means your cars, your houses, your bank accounts, your condos, and et cetera. So obviously the people that you talk to, maybe they can help you and work around what that means and what the Sunrise Bank has done. Now, in the case of the lawsuit by Sunrise in Ramsey County, I think that that was initiated because that was the first place that the Thor Construction in 2009 got the first pieces of money and loan from the bank and et cetera. But to your specific question, they are facing litigation in two separate jurisdictions, one Hennepin County, one Ramsey County. But I'm quite sure they could work that out. I remember there was a conversation in which somebody was saying on some program that they were going to force the governor to give them $35 or $40 million. I don't think that worked out. But, hey, it's up to them. Maybe they should have a press conference. I know this. I know that there was a meeting at a private home in South Minneapolis out there, in Bayou, and about 14 African-American gentlemen, older, my generation almost, were there, and an attorney by the name of Mr. Leon Trawick was briefing, and at that meeting they found out that the facility was not owned by Thor. Now, again, that was a meeting about 3 weeks ago in a private home in South Minneapolis. I don't want to name who the individual is because the individual has a relative who is an elected public official.
I can surmise the identity, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. My associate, Ms. Talley, do you have anything in addition, Brother Albert?
Well, I just think it's unfortunate, you know, listening, you know, in the beginning of the show, Mr. Edwards, to Senator Pratt and him saying that, you know, he has not spoken with the head of the Council of Minnesota's African Heritage, Justin Terrell, and Pratt sits as lead on the Committee for Economic Development and Workforce,
right,
basically.
And
so,
in the Minnesota Senate. So we're clear, in the
Minnesota Senate. So if you don't talk to this key person, what are you doing? What are you saying? Is what you're saying just basically BS coming out of your mouth? Because, you know, we had a seated senator from Minnesota on this committee, on this show today, who basically said, no, I haven't seen him. So if you don't talk to him, where are your plans going? How can you talk to the community about economic development and you're not in a position or putting yourself in the position in front of the right people?
I'm puzzled by that. And when Senator Pratt responded to the inquiry, I was kind of taken back because I've been hearing these conversations over the airways and et cetera, talking in terms of things they're doing. I know they're supposed to be having some kind of activity. Is it this week or next week, calling upon the community to kind of march on the state capitol and demand some things and et cetera. And that's a, would you not agree, M? And that's a pretty valid point by my associate, that if you don't talk to one of the individuals in one of the chambers of the legislature, in this case the Senate, the Minnesota Senate, who the Republicans are still in the majority, and you never reached out to the chairman of this particular committee that my associate, Mr. Allen, has articulated and defined as being important, then I don't know what they're doing over there. But hey, I'm just on the side of the highway on a dirt road on a bicycle.
Well, you'd think all those things would go hand in hand, you know. And also, you know, now I hear, you know, in talking about Thor and in talking about, you know, some of this financial stuff. I mean, now I see this big fanfare. I know that it was on hold in North Minneapolis, a large development where it's going to include a amphitheater, and it's going to include a lot of amenities.
Yeah, the Upper Mississippi industrial situation. Council Vice President Jenkins blocked that, and in fact, there is a report, because there were questions about Mr. Norman Robert Norman and how he could be affiliated all of a sudden with another organization. You know, we hate to have to historically talk about this because then Mr. Allen and myself come under attack for quote-unquote stirring things up.
I don't think that's very undeserved because I think, you know, for you to come under attack when we're just seeking clarity. We're just seeking clarity. I mean, and if it's a good program, if it's something the community would like, I mean, we're just seeking clarity. And what I'm seeing is that from where I sit as an outsider, it looks like Thor was going to be one of the principal developers of that large development.
They were.
And then with all of the, which is supposedly much ado about nothing about Thor, then this seemed to be on hold. But yet, just this past week, it was a big news item that this is going to move ahead and this is all going to be done. But they didn't say anything about the developer, if that issue had been. See, so that's what I mean. We get bits and pieces of things that don't seem to match. And if we don't listen to the Ron and Don, all we're trying to do is get clarity. That's all we're trying to do.
That's all, colleague. Mr. Allen concurs. They're just trying to get clarity.
Yes.
You know, some people, I think it was 36, lost their job within a month's time. And at the time, they'd only been open a month operationally. You know, some people, primarily African-American women with children, lost their job, you know.
And I would just have a question then to that. In regards to the large Northside development, is Thor still involved with that?
I have no idea because that was a massive number, financial number, over $200 million or thereabouts. That's why I said maybe folks want to call Council Vice President Jenkins. She can lay it out, if you will, because she really raised some tough questions 3 weeks ago. You know, ain't nobody talking about that. And she called in the director of economic development for the city of Minneapolis, talking about the Upper Mississippi Harbor process and the millions and millions and millions that were going to be poured in and et cetera. And then things got quiet. In fact, I see some of the folks that were in the meeting at home with the attorney of Trey Wick, I've known for many years, watched him play some great football for the University of Minnesota. You know, he's been an attorney for a long time.
Melbourne.
Yeah, Brother Trey Wick, Beyond Trey Wick, if you will. He was in the meeting there. They had it in the basement of the private home, and the question of ownership came up, and people maintained that they were told that the ownership now is basically the bank. And the prime debtors, then that would be Oopsie Daisy, Target, and the county, Hennepin County, that have a lot of money. Let me say this to you, Jim. I was first made aware and began to guide my colleague, Mr. Allen. I was first made aware in a conversation at a meeting in Seattle, Washington, in 2015. Within City Councilman Blongyang, good man, and I asked him specifically about the statements that were being made that Thor had raised on its own $35 million to build this beautiful new headquarters and et cetera. There was an expression on the then City Councilman's face that didn't quite match up to yeah, they're going to do this. And he ultimately said to me in that meeting in Seattle, Washington, we were there on some Department of Justice and City of Minneapolis responsibility, if you will, and he indicated that the money had come from. This was interesting. The money came from the city. And from a bank. He did not name the bank at that time. I later found out it was Sunrise. So I'm puzzled. I'm puzzled. We're merely seeking information, clarification, and et cetera. We don't want to be the bad guys because it's our community that has suffered. But, hey, if folks are saying that everything is okay, it's just a momentary hiccup, if you will, that's all well and good. So I'm like you. So how are you with regards to the major investment that they told to the community over the last year? Okay. I had a woman tell me about how great it was when they had the opening. They were all up there on the balcony, if you will. You know, they've got natural grass actually growing up on the balcony again. And they were all up there, and they were looking out over what some felt was the depressed north side. But, you know, somebody made the joke as they were drinking that champagne, let them eat cake.
Well, that gets back to, you know, in trying to find clarity. I mean, it just hadn't been that long ago. I believe it was in this past September that a glistening building opened with great fanfare. And I mean, all
that's
the
it was that site. Again, I repeat, it's beautiful on the top there. Natural grass has been put in. They have a glass enclosure that when it rained or whatever, you could go in, you could look out again over the city. That's what folks were talking about. I know my colleague, Mr. Allen, has had to exchange some ticker tape, if you will. Folks not happy, but I appreciate what you said, sir. You know,
great fanfare just 6 months ago, and then all of a sudden, I mean, and at that great fanfare event, I mean, the governor, I mean, all the particulars that you could think of that you would think could make this thing a go. They were all there.
Yes.
They were all on board.
Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they've jumped ship and they've this is why it's very hard. With the speed that this has flown on, it's just it's just interesting. We'd like to have some clarity and know if we're moving ahead. And
I'd
support the organization if it deserves such.
You know, maybe we get an update from their attorneys on how things are going in the two cases in two separate jurisdictions, Hennepin County and Ramsey County. You know, they maintain that Sunrise was a bad bank, if you will. They talked in terms of some religious situation, a couple of churches that had been, quote-unquote, shafted by Sunrise. I didn't hear the churches saying that. I heard the mouthpieces for the entity core, if you will. We got pretty well blasted by Lewis King, Dr. Lewis King of OIC, kind of blasted Don and I about a month and a half ago because people said we were making fun. You know, we don't make fun. We're looking at the people that tragically have been made unemployed. You know what I mean? So I don't quite understand it. But you know what? I bet you after this program this morning, Mr. Allen, I bet you you'll be getting some text messages left and right, you know, clarifying and et cetera. But I'd like to hear what the attorneys for construction are saying is that this is just a hiccup, if you will, a bump in the road, and that everything will be up and running. And maybe one of the things that Thor could do is because we had it on this program exclusively 2 years ago and repeated it just a couple months ago, maybe we can finally get those houses built for those poor black folks in Haiti.
I agree. And we got just under a minute and a half left, Mr. Edwards, and I would be remorse if I don't wish Star Tribune veteran reporter Randy First a very happy, special, happy birthday today. He's 73 years old.
My God, he's almost as old as I am. Randy First, congratulations, 73. Em, want to thank you for calling. We're hoping to hear from you again, Mr. Allen. And again, I think that was a nice gesture. The Star Tribune to see us as a couple of nice guys. And Randy First, 73 years of age. Hey, man, let James Brown take us on home on a Saturday morning, baby.
Put your pants up. Stand loud. Yeah.